Well, here we are. It's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. We are live today on EWTN Radio. I am Jerry Usher. Along with Debbie Giorgiani, we have Ace, Matt, and Jeff, the show team in place. And we are ready to hear some, I think, Debbie, very inspiring, uplifting, and maybe miraculous stories on today's show.
We're going to do this a few times this year, so quarterly. We will talking about angel stories, okay, those encounters we have with the angels, whether it's something that we just feel that was an angel that helped us during a certain situation, or even prevented an accident or something of that nature, or possibly just something that just we felt when we were going to mass or adoration, because remember, the angels are the best adorers, okay? Remember, they're beholding the face of God at the same time ministering to us. And so we want to talk about the angel stories. Now, folks, let me just share this. You know, the saints have very clear stories, so many of them, Padre Pio, St. John Vianney, I mean, it goes on and on. How many saints have had actual St. Therese of Lisieux? How many saints have had actual encounters with angels? The rest of us, we're really not supposed to be looking for that, but when it happens, we can recognize that it is coming from God. So we want to make sure we keep it in the proper perspective, but we're talking angel stories today, miraculous, big and small. Here is the number, 833-288-3986.
That is the phone number. That way you can get through. You can also email your angel stories to take2@ewtn.com. You can post them on social media. Jeff Burson, our social media manager, will collect those off of Facebook and YouTube. We're waving to you guys there on the video. How are you doing today? Hope you're having a great day. You can post on the show website, take2show.com. And as Debbie mentioned, that number where lines are wide open right now, it's a beautiful time for you to get in at 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. Even if you had an experience, you weren't really sure how to make sense of it all. Maybe it was an angel, maybe it wasn't, but you'd like to call in and maybe just share what some type of thing that happened to you along those lines.
Mm-hmm. And let's not forget to go to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, around paragraph 328, the existence of angels, the truth of our faith. It's very important we understand that. I mean, we acknowledge the angels in the creed, things that are seen and unseen. That's in reference to the angels. And so it's very important we understand the truth of our faith, and we understand how angels, what they have been, what their mission is by God Himself, and they are messengers. They are tasked to help us, especially our guardian angels. If we bring them into our spiritual lives, they are there to help illuminate our minds and strengthen our will. Okay, that's the beauty of the guardian angels. But we forget about them very easily. Why? Because guess what? You got the demons on the other side filling you with negative memories, right? And so you kind of push out your guardian angel. But when our guardian angels do show up for us in small ways and big ways, we should acknowledge that and keep that going and build the confidence in the angels. So if you've had an angel encounter, an angel story, you heard of an angel story, please share it with us. 833-288-3986.
We always say this on this show, God's timing, His providence is just really right on the money. And we wanted to do, this show was actually scheduled for yesterday, and we had a little technical issue, but get this. Sunday, I think it was Sunday night, right before yesterday when the show was going to air, I got an email from some friends, and they shared an angel experience that just happened to them the other day, and I'm going to hopefully read that on the show today. Mm-hmm. But also, in my spiritual reading at my holy hour this morning, out of In Conversation with God, it was all about guardian angels.
Was it really?
So you talk about, you know, the show got moved a day. You talk about God's timing here.
Yeah.
So please do share with us, 833-288-3986. Don't forget what Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2 says. Mm-hmm. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Mm-hmm. So he, right there, Debbie, it's right there in Hebrews. We could very easily encounter angels in our lives without even knowing it.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And, you know, you've got Joan Carol Cruz's book, Angels and Devils. It's one of my favorite books. She did a fabulous job. God rest her soul. She's done so much great work. The Eucharistic Miracles book, The Incorruptibles. I mean, Joan Carol Cruz was, in my opinion, I think she's definitely enjoying her eternal rewards. I just feel it for all the great work she's done. But in her book, she talks all about that. And also Peter Kraef's book, Angels and Demons, he talks all about that as well, and he did a fine job. His is a little lighter read, and it's a great introduction into understanding, especially if you have teenagers that you want to introduce the guardian angels to. I would recommend Peter Kraef's book, Angels and Demons. Jerry, you're spot on, and the saints talked about it too. So many saints, they had very close relationships with their guardian angels. Padre Pio talked to his guardian angel since he was a small child. Now, granted, let's understand this. Padre Pio had a very advanced spirituality. Oh, so you have to take that into consideration when you're talking about the relationship you can have with your guardian angel. And also, Padre Pio talked to Jesus and Mary all the time, which he thought was very normal, which isn't for the rest of us, right? Because we don't have that kind of understanding at such an early age. But angels do show up that when it's God's will, but angels do show up, and they're mighty warriors. They are tough. Okay. They're not just these cute little cherubs that sit on a shelf. These are tough, pure spirits. So please, call in if you have an angel story, 833-288-3986. I have so much to say about this. As you know, Jerry, this is like my background over 13 years studying angels. So,
Well, I do have to say too, Debbie, I may have said this on the air before, but my appreciation of my guardian angel has increased tremendously since you and I have been doing this show, because you bring up the guardian angels all the time. Oh. There isn't a day that goes by now when I don't call on my guardian angel to help me. Mm-hmm. Many times I send my guardian angel out to work with other people's guardian angels to help them and assist them. So, yeah, friends, we have got these guardian angels, as it said in my reading this morning, they are our companions on our journey of life. So let's talk about them. Let's celebrate them today. If you have a story about encountering an angel, maybe you weren't sure, but maybe you, after you pondered and reflected on it, after something interesting happened to you, maybe you said, that had to be an angel. That had to be my guardian angel. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. We're going to get to our full phone lines in just a minute. Great to have you with us, Jerry and Debbie, on EWTN Radio. Take Two is the show. It is your show. You call in with your lived experiences, especially on a topic like this, your wisdom, your insights, and we all learn and grow. I want to tell you quickly how you could start a Catholic radio station. You're going, what, me? Who? Yeah, well, a lot of people just like you have started Catholic radio stations where they live, and you can do the same thing, powered by the truth of the church and EWTN's dynamic radio programming. There's an email address. You can email radio@EWTN.com. And the gentleman who will get that email, his name is Steve. So email Steve at the email address radio@EWTN.com. And we're going to go to the phones, Debbie. I just wanted to mention real quickly, like I said, this was Sunday evening. I got this email right on the eve of what would have been the angel story yesterday.
Right.
And I have this very, very longtime friends. They're in Christian Catholic concert ministry. And the wife emailed me and said, on Friday, Michael, Bridget, and Jordan performed a 2-hour show for a senior assisted living complex in Coeur d'Alene. We were pretty sure an angel showed up. As they were in the middle of a song, an old lady in a walker hobbled up to Jordan and placed an envelope on his keyboard. Thank you was written on the outside. Then she hobbled out of the building and did not return, so they had no opportunity to speak with her. Mm-hmm. Inside was $300 cash. Who gives $300 tips for music anyway? Mm-hmm. She goes, is it remotely possible that an old lady would bring $300 cash before a concert when she has never heard our music before? Or that she would have been able to hobble out of the senior center building back to her apartment, get $300 cash, and hobble back? No one saw her leave the building and re-enter. She placed the envelope with Jordan and then exited out the door, essentially vanishing.
Wow.
I mean, that's exactly what we're talking about today.
Exactly. So a couple things on that. Could that have been an angel? Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'll tell you why. A couple things. Because of the fact that it's such an odd kind of circumstance. And typically with angels, they will come upon the scene and then they will leave. Now, when angels assume, when angels come in as and appear as a person, you know, a little old lady, you know, walking along, or a man or something of that nature, it's like it, Peter Kreef says it best in his book. He says it's like they put on a costume, like because they have to. They're pure spirits, so they're putting on a costume and they're coming so that it. And why do they do that? Because if they came as their actual self, their being, okay, we would be, it would be overwhelming for us. It would be completely overwhelming for us. So they have to appear to in a way that allows us to feel at peace. So we're not startled. We're not shocked. We're not, you know, totally, you know, horrified in some sense, just from the overwhelming sense of the beauty, the light, the beauty of it. Because remember, they're beholding the face of God at the same time ministering to us. So basically, I believe that was an angel who came in the form of took on a costume of that little sweet little old lady. I think there's probably a significance there with the three and the $300. So yeah, I think that's awesome. And that's exactly how the end. And they don't want a lot of, you know, hoopla. They don't want a lot of attention. Okay. They want to come on the scene, need what they need to do. And then they continue on with their mission. It's not about glorifying them. They're always glorifying God.
Mm-hmm. Well, they behold the face of God. What more could they want?
Exactly. Exactly. Right.
All right. Let's go to your angel stories. 833-288-3986. Our friend Doug in Minnesota listens to us on Real Presence Radio. Hey, Doug, you get to go first because you called first.
Hello. Hello. Yeah, that money, getting $300, it's very related to my story. I had a great weekend. I belonged to an apostolate called the Neo-Catechumenate, and we were in this upper room, an actual upper room. I think it was the tallest room in the whole place, with a big bay window. It was just like upper room for the Pentecost, you know? Anyway, the scripture this weekend, of course, was Jesus being tempted, and very closely related to this lady's testimony, the devil said to Jesus, "Look at all these kingdoms. I'll give them all to you if you just bow to me." Well, that triggered a memory, a very vivid memory of hers. Early in their marriage, they were just struggling financially. They had a little baby. I think the baby was sick, and she just cried out, "God, if we just, $100,000 would solve all of our problems." And she said she felt this presence, and it said to her, "Just ask me, and I'll do it for you." But it did not feel comfortable. And I'm thinking it was her guardian angel saying, "Hey, don't listen to this guy." She somehow knew that it was not God talking to her. Mm-hmm. And she begged him, "Get out of here. I cast you out." And it was just a very memorable experience for her. And then I had my own. I think my guardian angel was kind of giving me the inside scoop. The priest at one point mentioned that Adam and Eve never said, "I'm sorry." They said, "We were afraid," but they never really said, "I'm sorry." And immediately, I think it was my angel helping me to connect that to a sword shall pierce your heart so that the secret thoughts of many may be revealed. To me, that means your conscience is aroused. Otherwise, you're just kind of out there in la-la land in the gray matter and confused. Because of Mary's heart being pierced, the sorrow that Adam and Eve never expressed actually came to perfection in Our Lady's heart.
Wow.
No sorrow was ever deeper than hers. And so she, in a way, broke through that barrier between true contrition and just confusion.
Yeah.
So that's what I think my angel is talking to me there.
Yeah, I think it was the weekend gospel for this past weekend, where St. Paul, I think it's in Romans, he talks about, you know, through death, through one man, death came into the world, through another man, life in Christ. And so we have these connections between the Old Testament and the New Testament. They are types of Christ in the Old Testament. He fulfills them in the New. And in a sense, Mary is the opposite of Eve, in a sense. Eve brought sin into the world, helped to do that with sin. And Mary is the first creature of Christ's redemption on the cross. So she's without sin, and Jesus applies that to her outside of time and space before his actual death on the cross. So Mary absolutely does counter a lot of what was done, not only in the garden with Adam and Eve, but a lot of other things in the Old Testament as well. So I think it's... I'd never heard that they had, mm-hmm. did not express sorrow before. I'd never heard that put that way, Debbie.
Mm-hmm. Doug, I have to tell you, when I listen to you, you're such a contemplative. You contemplate things, meditate on things. You are you going into more of a contemplative mode or kind of phase in your life? I see it as, I don't know, you just seem, each time you call in, it gets deeper and deeper. Are you on that journey?
I'm retired. And my daughter just sent a little meme to me about how bears, but my wife calls me her Pooh Bear, and bears actually will just lay there, you know, leaning against a log, and they'll just gaze at the sunset or just, yeah. you know, just observe the world around them. And yeah, I'm in that no pressure mode. That I can just, as Our Lady did, she pondered these things in her heart. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I am at a stage in my life where I can stop and taste the honey yeah. of truth.
Well, that's a great place to be, Doug, and God bless you. I'm sure you had a great career, whatever you were doing in that line mm-hmm. of work, and now you're retired. You get to be the Pooh Bear leaning up against the log and enjoying the
honey. And lots
of honey,
contemplation.
So, yeah. Thanks, Doug. God bless you, man.
Thanks,
great
Doug. We love you.
We're going to go to Will next in Morgantown, West Virginia, listening on Roku today. Hi, Will.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
Doing good, okay.
Will.
How about yourself?
How are you?
Yeah, I have a story which really amazed me. It happened back in 1978, just after John Paul I was elected to the papacy. And it was one night. I was dreaming. I had this very vivid dream in color. And there was this tall, like, angel at the foot of this coffin at the left, okay? He was in white robes. I didn't see any wings, but he was in white robes. And I saw this dead pope on the coffin or bier. And when I looked down, well, he said to me, that's John Paul, or that's Paul, Pope Paul. He said, no, look very closely. It's not Pope Paul, that's Pope John Paul. Mm-hmm. And you should go and tell this to your priest, Father Cormier. Okay, so then I woke up immediately. It sort of shocked me a little bit. And I said, I can't go call, I can't tell him that. I mean, he'll think I'm nuts, and, you know. I'm not St. Joseph or whatever, you know. So anyway, I neglected that, and I didn't tell him. A week or so later, it wasn't very long, because actually John Paul I only lived a month.
Mm-hmm.
I was driving to work one day, and I had this urge, whatever, to turn on the radio. As they turn on the radio, I hear the news, and the news out was that John Paul had died the night before. I said, holy mackerel, I should have told Father C, Father Cormier. And I felt very guilty about it, not telling him. So I wish I had told him. So he had died. I didn't know at the time, but there was actually a book written in God's name by David Jollop that was an investigation into the murder of Pope John Paul I. He has a lot of evidence in there that there was foul play. Now, I don't think the Vatican pushed into it too much. But anyway, it was very scary. and I have that book. But anyway, so I felt really guilty about it. Well, then later, a couple years later, I was in the prayer group, and I was attending Mass, and there was Father, same priest, Father Cormier, said, you know, I don't know what it is, but I have a feeling that the Pope, that was John Paul II, was some kind of trouble or something. I don't know what it is. Well, then that night when I woke up, I heard a voice right when I was waking up. It wasn't an angel, or at least, you know, I didn't see anything. But then he said there was a plot to assassinate John Paul II, and that he was, it would be made to look like a Mideastern terrorist, but that the communists, the Russian communists, were behind it. And I said, well, this time I'm going to tell two priests. So I did tell Father Cormier. We prayed for the Pope at a prayer meeting, and I told another priest about it, too. So I felt, well, I feel a little bit better now. But it was a very scary thing. I mean, because not all dreams are just crazy things, you know what I mean?
Sure, sure. Well, and so I want to go back, if I can, just real quickly, because we do have full phone lines. So that's very interesting how you brought it all the way back. You knew exactly when it happened. And this was something that was definitely, you know, a private situation for you, right? And but then you like you said, you didn't act upon it the first time, but then you know told the priest another time. It's interesting, Will, that just that tells me that the angels feel very close to you to possibly give you, you know, a continual messages about your own spiritual life. Or so were you always close to your guardian angel? Or better yet, let me say this, did you recognize that you had a guardian angel?
Oh, yeah. I was raised a Catholic and everything, and there were pictures of angels, like I remember. And okay. Aunt or grandmother had a picture of a guardian, or an angel. I don't know if it was a guardian angel or not.
Right,
but,
right.
I mean, I wasn't super, but I am interested in angels, yes.
Well, and I just would encourage you to continue that, because the angels, you know, they tend to be more active with those that recognize and are aware of their ministry. Like Jerry was saying that, you know, since we've been in ministry together, he's been more, you know, aware and conscious and bringing in his guardian angel. And that is so true. So the more we recognize and acknowledge them and bring them into our spiritual lives, the more they will reveal and show themselves, because remember they have the whole mission. They know the whole mission. They've got it all given to them by God. So they understand what role they play, and they just want us to start cooperating. So I just love that about, you know, the fact that you had that encounter. And then I love the fact that it shows that you have a relationship. So that's what my takeaway is, Will. And I just think it's awesome. You'll have to keep us posted if there's any more messages you receive.
Hey. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Will. Great to have you with us on the program today. Jan, Julie, Denise, Paulette, Pat, we've got a lot of calls to get to here asking you for your angel stories today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio. And what I was thinking as you and Phil were talking there, Debbie.
Will,
it's only Tuesday, Jerry. Come on. I was thinking, you always talk about the toolbox, the spiritual toolbox. Mm-hmm. We have everything at our disposal to develop our spiritual lives, to grow closer to God, to grow in holiness. One of those tools that gets neglected too often is our guardian angel, I think.
Absolutely. And distractions and things that pull us away, we will naturally forget that we have a guardian angel beside us that is matched to our personality perfectly. But remember that your guardian angels are not recycled. They don't go to another person. They don't say, okay, God, I don't want Jerry. I'm going to take somebody else. No, it was a mission given by God himself just for you. So it's important that we stay aware and bring them into our spiritual life. So this is an exciting show. Please call us 833-288-3986.
It's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you on EWTN Radio, and you are showing up big as always. And we mentioned earlier about, you know, you could potentially, if God calls you to do it, start a Catholic radio station. A lot of people have done that, even with no radio experience. And so there are affiliates out there that have been on for 5, 10, 15, 20 years. And this week we want to congratulate longtime member of the EWTN radio family, Billings Catholic Radio in Montana, celebrating their 12th year with EWTN. So we congratulate Roy Brown and his team. Again, it's Billings Catholic Radio from all of your friends here at EWTN.
Before we get to Jan in Buffalo, New York, on the Station of the Cross, Jan, hold on one second. I just wanted to say this one more time because we're getting some messages coming in. So Jerry shared a story that came in about this little sweet elderly lady that gave the $300 at this music performance, and it could have been a possible angel because no one really knew her. She came in, she gave the money and left. Okay, so yes, it, when angels manifest. Okay, they will pick up a costume, a human costume, or sometimes, you know, other things that they can manifest as to not to scare us, but to assist us and to do something that is what God it's part of God's plan. It's God's will, and they are carrying out their mission. But if they came as their true beings of light and in the just glorious form that they're in, it would be very overwhelming for us. So it's a beautiful, gentle way that our Lord makes everything work and to help us. So think of it like that. It's kind of like a costume. They put on a costume to, when angels manifest, it's very rare, folks, very rare. So don't be looking for that. But when it happens, you can obviously give credit to God because it's coming from God. Okay, so Jan in Buffalo, New York, on the Station of the Cross. Hello, Jan.
Hey.
Hi, Jan.
Hi. How are you?
Doing okay. Tell us about your experience.
Well, my guardian angel has always been with me, but in one particular incident, it was absolutely clear I would not be here if it weren't for my guardian angel. My sister, who was ill, lived about 200 miles away from me. And I would go down there after work on a Friday or early Saturday and relieve the rest of my sisters for helping to care for her. She had pancreatic cancer. And so often I would sleep on the floor next to her. And then I would leave the next day to come home. And this one particular incident, I was falling asleep. It's about a 200-mile trip. I was falling asleep on the freeway. And I felt somebody, and I'm alone in the car, stick a pin underneath my fingernail to the quick. Mm. And, of course, that startled me awake. And I realized that, I was in a very dangerous position. So that's my story on my guardian
mm-hmm.
angel.
Mm-hmm. I think Debbie and I, we could probably both share similar stories of being behind the wheel, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And let me share something with you, Jen. Your story, if we could see with the spiritual eyes what's happening in the spirit world, right, with the angels, it's this massive, complex movement, very fast of things happening and being, accidents being prevented, things being stopped. Why is that? Why did our Lord want that for us? Well, think about it. We're up against a lot of negative things. We're up against a lot of demonic things. We're up against a lot of accidents that can just happen. And so God presented this beautiful network of angels, guardian angels for us. And then it rises up in the hierarchy of watching over the streets and watching over the country and watching over a parish and watching over a diocese. Okay. It's so beautiful that this network is there on our behalf. Should we first acknowledge that and then also try to live in alignment with the will of God and to be appreciative of their mission? And Jan, it's as clear as a bell that your guardian, in my humble opinion, that your guardian angel acted because God, you know, willed it. He wanted you to be that accident to be prevented, and God willed it, and the angel carried it out. Yeah, it's beautiful. What do you think, Jerry?
Yes.
No, go ahead, Jan, please.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, God wasn't finished with me. So he didn't need to die at that point or to take somebody with me.
That's
so
right.
So I can honestly say that, you know, this has been about 5 years now. I am a better person than I was when this incident happened because, though I always had my guardian angel always on my mind, I think this really brought him home to me, or her home to me. Mm-hmm. And God wasn't finished with me yet, so I'm still learning.
Praise God, we're all learning. The Bible says God wills that all people be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So it's God's will that we learn more and more truth as we go along in life. Right. But you mentioned your sister with her pancreatic cancer. Has she passed? Can we get her name for our prayer book, Jan, real quick?
Yes, her name is Marlene.
Okay.
And her maiden name was Duval.
Okay.
And she suffered quite a lot with her pancreatic cancer. Mm. So I have a big family. I have 10 sisters and 2 brothers on one side. And then I have 4 brothers on my mother's side. Mm-hmm. I was raised with my stepmother and my half-sisters. So Marlene was my whole sister. She and I were whole in it. So we had, a little extra bond, even though we didn't always agree. You know, I was always there for her. And like I say, we lived quite a ways away, but, you know, she was always in my heart.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. All right, Jan, thank you. She is in the prayer book. You are as well. Thank you for sharing what you did and inspiring us on the program today. We appreciate that so much. We're hearing your angel stories today on Take 2 with Jerry and Debbie at 833-288-3986. And we are going to go next to Georgia, Centerville to be exact. Paulette joins us watching the video on YouTube. Hi, Paulette.
Hi, Paulette.
Hi there. Hi, how are you?
Welcome. Great.
I've been protected by my guardian angel quite a bit, but the first time I was just a child, I was about 7, I was in first grade, and my school went on a field trip to this house called the 1890 house in Cortland, New York, and we had this big tour, and when we were done, we were upstairs the upstairs was open to the downstairs. We could look down and see like the marble floor and the exit door, the entry of the house. The lady who'd been giving us the tour handed all of us little kids a little piece of hard candy. Well, I love candy. I still do. And I decided to just stand there, and I was completely obsessed with this piece of candy, opening up the wrapper and completely just ignored the fact that my teacher and all of the students were leaving and getting on the bus, and I was upstairs all by myself and popped a piece of candy in my mouth and inhaled it into my throat and couldn't breathe. And I just kept, you know, I saw my teachers and all my, you know, classmates leaving the 1890 house and the tour guide down there thanking them and everything like that. And I'm upstairs like, you know, I can't breathe. And what am I going to do? Everybody's gone. And I felt these 2 hands just pushed me on my back, and they pushed me into this, the balcony railing that was overlooking, you know, the downstairs, right, exactly in my diaphragm, and then out came the candy, and I turned around, and there was nobody there. And I, caught my breath and, you know, went down and ran, caught up with my teachers and the students, and I just kept looking behind me like, I don't know what just happened, you know, but I can breathe and the candy's out of my throat. And so now I can look back and say it had to be my guardian angel. There's no other explanation.
Yeah. I totally agree. You know, the picture of the guardian angel kind of watching over the 2 children. It's a classic picture that we've seen when we were kids. And then usually you've got the guardian angel prayer with that. So we were taught that. As Catholics, you know, our parents prayed that prayer. It seems like a very you know, gentle kind of sweet prayer. It's actually a very strong and mighty prayer, and that's exactly, you know, you have to remember, because they're beholding the face of God. They were assigned to you, Paulette. Your guardian angel was assigned to you by God Himself, and so that guardian angel was watching over little Paulette. Okay, and you were alone, and you were in trouble, and God wanted you to be here, and so your angel moved into action quickly. I pray that you are, have you continued your relationship with your guardian angel?
Well, I don't think a lot about my guardian angel, but it's funny you say that, because I have a dear friend here who told me that I need to go to adoration so that my guardian angel can spend time with Jesus. And I have not done that yet, but I do need to, and I think about it. Mm-hmm. But no, I was glad I stumbled on your program
but you know what, Paulette, maybe make it today that you, and here's the beauty of it. Your friend is absolutely correct, because your guardian angel is the best adorer of God. So we know that a lot of tabernacles around the world have angels on either side of the tabernacle. Why is that? To remind us, to give us a visual that the angels are the best adorers. And so that, and they're beholding the face of God. But Paulette, I would just suggest this. Pray the guardian angel prayer in the morning. You know, the angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits me here of this day, be at my side to light and guard, to rule and guide, amen. That prayer, or some version of it, pray that in the morning to remind yourself, and then again at night, because the demons want to erase our recall of the angels, the guardian angels. So it's our job to enter into a state of awareness that our guardian angels are always beside us, never leaving us. They will be there our entire journey. Do you think maybe you could start that possibly today, and then that can change everything?
Yeah, for sure. Yes, I do. And thank you. It's such a simple reminder. Totally know the prayer. It's a good one.
Okay. Okay. Well, you know, but Paulette, I have to tell you, I talk to people all the time and they say the exact same thing you do. So it's just the way the world works. We're getting all these forces crowding out the angels. We need to bring the angels in, you know, and that's why it's so important. So your call today has probably helped thousands of people. So thank you.
Well, thank you. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I've got a lot of people still on hold. We're going to get to as many of you as we can. Julie is next in the order in which you called, listening on EWTN.com in Cincinnati. Hi, Julie.
Hello.
Thanks for your patience.
It's lovely listening to all the stories. It just affirms everything that you experience in life when you experience an angel. So when I was a child, about four, I saw my guardian angel. And I do believe it was due to my grandmother reading an angel story to me, you know, a guardian angel story, and I saw pictures of angels. And in the book, it was a young man, a strong young adult man, you know, in the white robe with the belt, you know, that look. And one day, I'm taking a nap, like I was always taking a nap in the afternoons, and I was just on my knees playing with the fringe on my bed. And I felt somebody in the room. And I turned and I looked to my left. And there was, I know, was my guardian angel. And I took it such for granted, because my grandmother had convinced me that my guardian angel was always at my side. And so I just looked and I was like, huh, you're my guardian angel. And I went back to play with the fringe on my bed. And I looked back again, see if he was still there. He was gone. Took it totally for granted. It made angels so real and common in my life. And then I didn't mention this one to the call screener, but even later on, I can accept angel stories. I was doing a student practicum from college at a local children's hospital, and there was a little girl, probably 5 or 6, with cystic fibrosis, and I would hear them pound on her back, and she would just cry and cry, and everybody was so loving around her. Well, I would go in to visit her afterwards to kind of play with her and calm her down. And one day she said to me, just very matter of fact, well, an angel came to me last night and said that I get to go to heaven tomorrow. And I thought, wow, wow, I wonder if the pants can do this. And the next day, she was gone.
Mm, wow.
So it was a beautiful, you know, there was no fear in it. When you're a child and you, there is no fear. It was just a loving companionship. So those are my angel stories.
So a couple things, Julie, just because we have listeners from all around the world. So I want to make sure I want to share this so that people can understand how angel manifestations happen and what that means for us. Okay, in your situation when you were a child, and I understand what you were saying about other children, because I've heard this for many years, that children, they have an easy receptivity to the angels. And so the angels, you know, gently, you know, will sometimes manifest for children. Now, the one thing I just want to say, and I think you'll agree with me, Julie, because we have to be very careful that we don't want people to go out searching for angels to appear to them or asking angels to communicate with them. Why is that? Because we know that the demons can use that as a trick, and that is very dangerous. So we have to be very cautious and very careful. And it could be, exactly. Jerry just wrote a note saying it could be a counterfeit. That is very true. And so we have to be very careful we don't get off the mark. That's why when a lot of people go to psychics and people like that, and they say, oh, there was an angel there, you know, most likely it was a demon. It was not, because the angels don't want to be known. They don't want to be seen like that. They don't want the glory going to them. Now, with children, it's a different story, because they're there as protectors and guides. And so you're absolutely correct, Julie, that children, there's been a lot of stories of even small children, even 2 years old, could barely speak, will acknowledge that they have somehow seen an angel. So it's very interesting. So I just want to caution people, you don't want to go out looking for angel manifestations, okay? But when they happen, you can recognize that it's coming from God. Would you agree with that, Julie?
Absolutely, because there was peace behind it. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, there was peace. And I know this sounds strange, and it's a different topic altogether, but somewhere in my family of origin, there was a portal open to the other side, and I've had masses said and all that kind of stuff. So I've also experienced the other side in our home and in our my upbringing family. And it brought such great peace to me that to know that my guardian angel was more powerful, and my prayers and Mary and Jesus and Joseph, they were all there taking care of me. So when horrible, ugly things happened, it dwarfed compared to, sure, it was terrifying for the negative side of it to happen, I believe that God allowed me to see that guardian angel, for one, to acknowledge that I have one. But number two, that in my struggles down the road in life, that I have a guardian angel. I've actually had the privilege of seeing him, and it did appear as a boy, not saying it was a gender. But that's how it appeared in my childhood book, and so that's how I saw him. Mm-hmm. And I don't fear, I have a healthy fear of demons, because I could never combat them. But to know that my guardian angel is at my side, and believe me, I've had the benefit of that guardian angel all through my life. So, yes, I agree with you completely on what you've
Beautiful.
Just said.
Well, that was a great testimony you shared, Julie. Thank you for doing that. You waited a long time on the line, and we appreciate that. Denise, we're going to get to you right after I tell people about another show coming up a little bit later today, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. It's Open Line. This Tuesdays, it's Father Wade Menezes. He takes your questions on most of these EWTN stations about faith, spirituality, prayer, and many other things. Father Wade, today on EWTN Open Line at 3 p.m. Eastern Time on many of these same EWTN stations.
Okay, just want to share, because we're getting close to the end of the show, we have an abundance of calls coming in, messages, YouTube, social media. We haven't even gotten to any of the stories. I know Timoteo sent a beautiful story in. We are going to do this a few more times this year, and I believe it's already scheduled for sometime in May, Jerry?
It'll be late May, yeah. We have to pick the exact date, but it'll be late May. We will do it again.
Absolutely. So Denise in Westminster, Colorado, listening on Denver Catholic Radio. Hello, Denise.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Okay, I was coming out of Office Depot one day. My car was parked right there in the handicap. I didn't see anyone else around. All of a sudden, I'm in the car, putting the car in reverse. A knock on my window, and this girl, about 30-ish, said to me, do you have any money? Now, I always give money, with my husband always upset with me giving money to everybody. And I started going, and it was like an 8-store mall, okay? And all of a sudden, I looked around, couldn't find her, and I went, oh, no. Go down there, turn to go out to the road, and she's standing there. So I pulled over and gave her the money. So, and do I have a very close relationship with my angel. I call him Buddy. Not that his name's Buddy, but a friend Buddy.
Friend, yeah.
And I smile when I hear the angel of God prayer. I just pause and smile. It's like I see him right there, you know. So.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Do you know, Denise, you know this because you have a close relationship with your beautiful holy angel that has been assigned to you by God himself. Do you realize that when you are done with all of your work here on earth and God calls you home, whenever that is, you realize your guardian angel will be right beside you, right?
Oh, I know he's going to take me there. I know it.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. So I love that you have this deep, close relationship, friendship with your guardian angel. I think Denise, Padre Pio would be very proud of you because that's what he encouraged all of us to do. So way to go, Denise.
Love Padre Pio. Okay.
Thank you, Denise. Yeah, I'm already heavily bribing my guardian angel to be advocating
to plead on
my
your
behalf.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Me too. Yeah. Well, you remember, your guardian angel is just like you, Jerry. Your guardian angel is matched to your personality. So it's going to...
Poor thing.
There's two of you.
Let's get to Pat real quick. WSOG is where Pat is listening in Illinois. Hello, Pat. Welcome to Take Two.
Hello.
Hi there.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Do you want me to just go ahead?
Yeah, yes. speak loudly and clearly right into the phone, Pat, so we can hear you.
Okay. I was on my way to work one time in a town about an hour away, and I was hoping to get down there in time to go to Mass before I started work. Then I heard a noise, and I realized I had a flat tire. I went to... A man in a white suit stopped. He got it changed, and I was able to get down there in time to go to Mass. It never dawned on me till much later. He had to be an angel sent by God to help me get there in time.
Yep. And I can tell you, Pat, just to let you know that your story, I have probably heard over 1,000 times. So it's typical of the angels to show up on the scene when they come in, they do their work, they do what God has instructed them to do, and they're out of there. They don't want any fanfare. They don't want any thank you or anything. They're just doing what they need to do because God himself wanted Pat to get, you said you were going to Mass, wanted Pat to go to Mass, wanted that tire change. So you, in my opinion, my humble opinion, you had a beautiful encounter with one of God's angels.
I think so too. It didn't even dawn on me till later. I really appreciated it, help.
Yeah. No doubt. I was going to say, Pat, I'm a little bit jealous because I've had a few flat tires in my life, and my guardian angel has never manifested to change my tire for me. So I'm going to have to – he may advocate for me at my judgment, but I've got a few words for him as well, so him or her. But no gender.
There's no – right. That's hilarious, though. But, Pat, you are precious. Thank you for sharing your story. That is wonderful. And you know, you will – when angels do manifest, they will typically manifest around some kind of emergency or accident or something like that. So that, because God, you know, knows that we're faced with all this stuff that could, our lives could change at a moment's notice. And we could maybe in May, let's get into, you know, why certain angels do show up on the scene and sometimes people don't have that same encounter. So we could talk about that in May, Jerry. That would be
interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't know what more we could ask for from God. He's given us, of course, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, our sacraments, our church, our faith, the magisterium, angels to help us. We got very few excuses if we don't make it to heaven, I think.
That's true. It's very true. Yeah. He's given us all the support. Isn't there a joke about that where he says, I sent you a boat, I sent you this, I sent you that?
Tell it tomorrow.
Oh, that's right, because we got the joke show tomorrow.
Tomorrow, tell us your best clean joke. It's a regular show. I think it's quarterly as well. And that is always busy, busy, busy. So start calling in early tomorrow with your best clean joke. In fact, start thinking about them overnight tonight, the rest of the day today, into the morning tomorrow. And we look forward to hearing from you on that.
Absolutely. That's tomorrow. So Lucy and Sydney and Diane and Drew and the others, you can call back in May when we do the angel stories again, or you can always email us your story. We love to read them at take2@ewtn.com. Jerry?
All right. Thanks as always to the show team, Ace, Jeff, and Matt. Thank you, affiliates, for carrying the program. I'm Jerry Usher for Debbie Giorgiani, wishing you a beautiful and blessed day. Hope your Lent is going well. As always, together, let's pray. Saint Joseph, please pray for us.